Blog Talk Radio.
Andrew Socek, I am nervous after that episode of Impact Wrestling. We'll talk why. But this is the Thursday PW Torch Livecast. I'm Mike McMahon with Andrew Socek. We're going to talk Impact Wrestling and Impact on Pop for about the next hour or so. Andrew, 1 to 10, what'd you think of the show?
I feel like I need to process this one a bit. This was a weird episode.
Yeah.
Off my gut, I'm just going to go 5 right now. Okay. How about you?
I didn't mind the show. I thought the show was pretty good. I'd go a little higher. I'd probably be in the range I have been the last couple of weeks, which is about a 6.5 or so. But I'm really nervous about one thing. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm nervous about. If anyone has listened to this show for any length of time, you know exactly what I'm nervous about. Josh Matthews was revealed as Matt Sydal's spiritual advisor, which at first I thought, great, this is what we've been looking for. Josh Matthews is a heel manager. He gets away from the announce team. This is perfect. They come back from the break. Sanjay Dutt is doing commentary on the Feast or Fired match. He's flying solo. And I'm going, you know what? He's doing a great job. For a guy who's never done commentary before, in a match like that, there's just crap happening everywhere. Bodies are flying. People are flying. He was doing great. He was showing emotion. He was getting excited when Petey Williams got the case. Then all of a sudden, here comes the downer. Josh Matthews back on commentary, acting like a heel, saying that he's going to do double duty and be a spiritual advisor and an announce guy. And I said, uh-oh. We've seen this before. Are you as nervous as I am about Josh Matthews just healing it up on commentary again when they did this a year ago and it was terrible?
Yes, just as nervous as you are. That was an immediate, like, I had to knock a point off the score for that. I like, in my mind, it's like, this cannot happen, right? I mean, there's no way Don Callis and D'Amore could think that wasn't a complete train wreck and it was awful and it was annoying. I was with you when he was awarded the title. Good. I get him off, try him as a manager. We floated that idea before, but yeah, every single week doing this again, it's going to be brutal.
Yeah. I don't know any other way to put it. I hated it a year ago. I know I'm going to hate it now. It's going to drive me crazy. And let's face it, we're not the only ones. I think anybody who's watched this show for any length of time is going to be not happy with this move if he plays it like a heel. So the only thing that I think is slightly encouraging, and I'm going to use the word slightly, but I think it's slightly encouraging, is that Sanjay Dutt did say – and did kind of threaten Josh with, like, hey, if you don't call things down the middle, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do on commentary, essentially, then he was going to yell and tell Keith Mitchell to just turn the mic off. Turn it off and don't let anybody hear. So I thought to myself, okay, well, maybe that's a good thing, right? Maybe that's a little bit of a sign that they're not going completely in the direction that they went before when it was just Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews yelling at each other for 2 hours and the Pope trying to play peacekeeper. But who knows? You just don't know. You would just think that was hated so universally and not in a good way. You know, not good heat like, oh, this is good heat on Josh Matthews because he's a heel manager now. We'll do what we did last year when everybody hated him. Like, no, that it wasn't good heat. That heat that they had last year with their commentary team, and it was about a year ago at this time, was people saying, I don't want to watch the show anymore because it's annoying. And for a company that's gaining some momentum a little bit, I think that's really, really dangerous because you don't want people to have a reason to tune out. And I mean, look, we're going to continue to watch the show every week because we talk about it here in the livecast, right? But that would be enough for me. If I was just a fan and I wasn't watching this show to put reports up on the torch and do this radio show, this podcast after the show was over, that might be enough for me to be like, that's it. I can't do this. I'm checking out. Because it was that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I mean, I'm with you on that one. There was a brief period in time during the Hogan Bischoff Russo era. I just quit watching Impact. It only lasted for a few weeks and I came back and probably should have regretted it ever since. But yeah, I'm with you. This would drive me away for a bit. But the thing is, it's so weird. Like, it's a terrible idea, but why would you not go all in and have him be a heel? That's an awful idea, but it's such a weird character thing to be like, well, 10 minutes a show, he's going to be a heel, and then the rest, he's going to be, call it down the middle? Like, I don't get that at all.
Yeah.
What? So, I mean, I don't know what plays out in the coming weeks, but I'm like, Don Callis or somebody has to come in and kick him off, right? But they certainly didn't set up anything like that because, like you said, they kept setting up the Keith Mitchell thing. So this is going to be one of the worst calls of the year if they go with this. And I just, yeah, I'm dumbfounded really at that part.
Yeah, so the Keith Mitchell thing is what has me worried. Like that line from Sanjay Dutt, it kind of makes me believe that they're going to do this for the long term, or maybe not the long term. Maybe it's just until the end of this set of tapings, because I wonder really what the Jeremy Borash signing by WWE did to their plans, because we had heard that Don Callis was going to be involved in the announce team in some way, shape or form. That obviously has not happened yet. I kind of figured when we saw this move tonight, my first thought was, okay, well, Borash was still supposed to be here. Maybe their plan was Borash and Callis, which I don't think I would. I mean, I like Don Callis. I don't think I would have liked it just because Jeremy Borash was so bad. But whatever. I mean, it would have been better than Borash and Josh Matthews, I can tell you that. I think that the good that Don Callis would have brought maybe would have counteracted the emotionless, you know, robot that Jeremy Borash had become. But the fact that they kind of set it up for weeks to come make me think that they are going to stay with this team for at least a little bit, maybe till at least the next set of tapings. And I am just not looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to Jeremy Borash acting like a heel and Sanjay Dutt threatening to tell Keith Mitchell to turn the mic off, but they never do. And then Jeremy Borash acts a little bit more like a heel and Sanjay tells him to be quiet. Like we've seen this before. We know what's going to happen. Yeah. It's not going to be good.
No, I don't know why Impact can't just be like WWE in this regard. Like people don't really hate Michael Cole anymore. They've just kind of grown used to him. So
it's weird, huh?
Yeah,
it's almost like people have just been beaten into submission with a fine. You're not going to get rid of the guy. Fine. We'll just stop complaining about him.
Right. So he's fine. Tom Phillips, fine. Like, why can't they just get a fine announcer, you know, harmless? Why do they have to actively annoy people for 2 hours every single week with just crappy calling? I mean, at this point, I would say, God, just move Sanjay Dutt over to play-by-play and Don Callis put him in. Fine. I don't know. Do something. Yeah. I thought he was...
It was 5 minutes, but I thought Sanjay was pretty good. I think it's funny, too, that we're both still willing to just be like, we just want someone who's fine. We don't even want somebody that's good. We just want someone who's passable. Someone that we can listen to and not drive ourselves insane. That's all we want. Yeah. We're not sitting there going, we want Jim Ross. No, we just want someone who's good enough.
Just like that. Yes, exactly. I mean, they can say a couple dumb things at night. They can just be kind of groan-inducing. But, God, just don't ruin the entire show. Like Borash and Matthews did for a good 6 months longer. No, even longer than that. Yeah,
that went to, well, I remember we got this big reprieve at Slammiversary when they went with Rob Flores and,
Don West.
Don West. That's right. I love that. I at this point, Don West looks like Gordon Solie compared to what they've had for the last several months. Don West got a bad rap. You know what? You listen to some of those old clips, like the GWN stuff that they do and the Pluto stuff that they do, and Don West was really passionate about what he was talking about. You felt like he cared. You felt like he was excited about what he was watching. You never would have heard Don West go, and Matt Sydal is the X Division champion as you go to a break. Like, what Jeremy Borash sounded like he wanted to be anywhere but doing what he was doing. It kind of makes me reminisce for those times. I mean, just because Don, at least he was excited. And that's all it takes. Like, if the announcer is just a little bit excited, it adds so much to the show. So much to the show, in my opinion. I just think when you have that guy that's excited and you can tell he wanted – like Sanjay Dutt in Feast or Fired. He was excited. He was animated. Petey Williams got that briefcase down. You would have thought that Petey Williams just, you know, won the world title with as excited as Sanjay Dutt got. But it felt like he cared about what was going on in the ring. And, you know, I'm kind of losing my train of thought here and going off on Jeremy Borash where he's not even with the company anymore. But it's just like it's not hard, I don't think. Yeah. Like, you don't – it's not an easy job to do. I'm not trying to say it's an easy job to do. I'm saying it's not – it shouldn't be hard for a wrestling company, even if they're on a small network that's on national television, to find an announcer that actually seems like he gives a damn about what's going on in the ring. Mm-hmm. That should not be hard. Whether it's a guy that has a football background, a basketball background, he doesn't even necessarily have to have a wrestling background. Maybe you have a wrestling fan who's done, you know, minor league hockey or something, but just has a broadcast quality to his voice and his presentation, and he knows how to emote emotion, and he knows how to get excited about things. You know, you watch whether it's a minor league hockey game or whatever. I'll use minor league hockey as the example, but guess what? Like those guys, when someone scores a goal, they don't go. Like, say you're from the Iowa Wild, I know is a minor league hockey team. The Iowa Wild play-by-play guy is not going to go, goal, Iowa Wild, and winning 1-0. No, like, they're going to go, Skah! They get all excited. I mean, it shouldn't be hard. Yeah. It shouldn't be hard to find someone.
No, it shouldn't. Like, there literally has to be hundreds to thousands of people right now in the country you could grab and they would be better. I mean, they might just be, you know, casual fans sitting in their house and they would never get that opportunity anyways. But I just firmly believe, I mean, yes, it is hard, but nobody should be that bad for that many years as Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash were. I don't get how Damore and Callis don't see this glaring weakness on their show, the one that they are in charge of, on a week to week basis. I mean, they're so into their online presence and everyone is so negative about these guys. They have to know they're bad or people don't like them. And yet they're going to push on for who knows how long.
All right, let's reset because I haven't given out the phone number yet. It is 515-605-9345. I don't know what's going on with the number. Seems to be changing back and forth from week to week.
Yeah, it does. We're
back to this one again, but we've got callers on the line, so that means people know. Or maybe, you know, I wonder if both numbers are connected and we're getting, no matter which number you call, we're getting phone call. But irregardless, it is 515-605-9345. That's the number. You can also email the show, impactlivecast@gmail.com, impactlivecast@gmail.com. You can also get at us on Twitter. I am Mike McMahon, PW for Pro Wrestling. He is Andrew Socek, S-O-U-C-E-K. You can interact with us any way you choose. We'll be here for the next hour talking Impact, and we'll run down the show, and we'll get to callers, and we'll do all that stuff. But right now we're going to go to a break, our first break of the show. When we come back, we'll get to phone calls. We already got a couple of people on hold. You can join us as well at 515-605-9345. We'll be back in just a second with your calls here on the livecast.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on the PW Torch Livecast. Before we get to phone calls, we got to tell you about Harry's Razors. I love Harry's Razors, and here's why. You don't have to go to the grocery store. You don't have to go to the drugstore and stand in a line waiting for a guy to come over and unlock the case so you can get your pack of razors out and pay for your overpriced razors. You know why they're locked up? They're locked up because they're overpriced, and they don't want people to steal them. Well, at Harry's Razors, you can get a great deal and get a great shave at a fair price. That's why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy, they're two ordinary guys, just like me and Andrew. They're fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, just like we're fed up with the Impact announced team. And they started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's stripped out the unnecessary features, the vibrating handles and the heated blades and the 15 lubricating strips and all the unnecessary costs associated with those unnecessary features. And they did that to bring you a perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave comes down to good blades. That's it. And because Harry's owns the factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade. That's compared to $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. All their products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades, they'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/PWTorch. Just pay for the shipping. Who doesn't want free stuff, right? Go get your free razors. Harrys.com/PWTorch. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. It's a $13 value. You're going to get it for free when you sign up. Just cover the cost of shipping. That trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover, which I think is really cool. Get your free trial set today. Go to harrys.com/PWTorch right now. That's harrys.com/PWTorch. Okay, Andrew Socek and I are here on the live cast. It is a Thursday. It's March 15th, 2018. We're going to get to your calls, 515-605-9345. And let's go up first to Ryan in Maryland. Ryan, how are you?
Good. First question I have for you is on Brian Cage. What are the odds that he's the Impact champion sometime in 2018?
What do you think there, Andrew? We've talked about this before, what we think we would do with him. I think it's totally reasonable to have him win the world title sometime in the neighborhood of Bound for Glory. You know, in 1998 or 1995, it probably would have been something you build out for 2 years. But in 2018, it's probably something where, you know, 8 or 9 months is appropriate. What do you think? Do you think he will win the title before the end of the year?
You know, just if you pick any particular wrestler on the roster, I would have to say they'd be under 50%. But he is definitely one of the higher options, I would think. I mean, so let's say Aries holds it for a few months, drops it to a heel, and then the heel goes on a good run. So, yeah, Bound for Glory-ish. Brian Cage wins. Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that. I think this feud with Lashley that we kind of saw started tonight will be telling and how he does at the next set of tapings for Cage. So I'm going to go 30%. How about you?
I think that's fair. I know when we brought this up, we talked about Goldberg because, you know, they're building Cage very similarly to the way that they built Goldberg with the streak and just how dominant he's looked. And I think Goldberg won the title in 10 months, roughly. I think he debuted around September of 97. Yeah. And then I know he won the title for the first time. It was obviously against Hogan in the Georgia Dome, and that was July of 98. Yep, so it was probably in the neighborhood of about 10 months. Bound for Glory, from where Brian Cage debuted to Bound for Glory, is about 10 months. So I don't think it's unrealistic that if they do this the right way, and so we've talked about too how they've done a good job of kind of keeping people off TV sometimes to make them feel fresh and not overexposed. Well, if you're going to do this with Brian Cage, I almost feel like you've got to have him on TV doing something every week. He doesn't have to be in the ring. Like the segment tonight with Lashley was fine. But if he's on TV and he looks strong every week for the next 10 months, then yeah, I think you could do it at Bound for Glory and it wouldn't feel, you know, unrealistic. So, but I think from a percentage standpoint, like you said, there's just so many guys, you never really know. But I would agree that he would be on the higher end of guys. You know, if you were to kind of rank, okay, who on the roster could win the world title before the end of the year, and you were going to rank guys in order, I would have to say that that Cage would be near the top of that list. You know, it would be probably Cage and Moose are the first two that come to mind for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say maybe Johnny Impact as well, if he turns heel or something, but those would probably be my top three. Yeah.
What do you think, Ryan? Do you think he wins the title before the end of the year?
I think so. I think it's higher than 30%, maybe closer to 50% for me.
Sure.
That's fair.
And, my second question for you is on Ring of Honor talent. Do you see a possibility to see Machine Guns or Curry Man or even Jay Lethal appearing in Impact Wrestling since they were showcased on the flashback Easter Fired match this week?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if that was a sign that maybe they'll come up with some type of relationship. I know that they would like to. At least Impact would like to. Obviously, Austin Aries was at the Ring of Honor show last weekend, and while he's not under contract, Impact knew about it, and they were okay with it. So, yeah, you brought up the Machine Guns. I think they would be a great fit just because, as Andrew and I have talked about, there's no tag teams in the company at all. I think the Machine Guns would be a good fit. I think, Kaz and Christopher Daniels would be a good fit. If you can bring in guys – if you want to bring in some new guys, great. But if you could bring in some guys that have legacy value to the Impact fan, whether it's Christopher Daniels or Kaz or the Machine Guns, or just guys that were – Jay Lethal was another one, obviously. Guys who have been in Impact before, if you can bring in some of those guys and get them some dates and Ring of Honor's okay with it, I think it works out great. At the end of the day, I don't know if it would benefit Ring of Honor or not. Probably wouldn't, but it I don't think it would hurt them necessarily either. I think it's a good idea to try to get your wrestlers as much paydays as you can get them. Keep your wrestlers happy. It builds up morale. And at the end of the day, there's only so many ways for guys in the wrestling business to make a dollar now. There's only so many paydays out there. So the more they can get, I think the happier they would be, obviously. And the companies, they're not directly competing with each other. They're not on TV on the same night. They are in the same marketplace, but I don't know that there'd be people that would necessarily be like, oh, I'm an Impact fan, so I can't watch Ring of Honor. Like, no, this isn't WWE versus WCW in 1999. So I don't think it's a big deal. I would hope that they can establish some sort of relationship because I think it's good for the wrestlers. Andrew, what do you think there?
Yeah, if you'd asked me a few months ago, I would have said no, like that won't be happening anytime soon. But as we just saw, or we'll see soon, Lucha Underground is facing Impact, and I would have never guessed that. Don Callis and Damore, they've been reaching out to people. So, I don't know how interested ROH would be, because it's funny how things switch around, because a few years ago it would have been the other way around. But, I don't know how much Ring of Honor would want to be associated with Impact at the moment until they kind of reestablish themselves. But I mean, there is some name value there, and it is a nice hook. So I wouldn't rule it out. I'll go 30% on that as well.
There we go. Anything else in your mind, Ryan?
Yes. Have you heard anything on Austin's book? Like anyone that's read it that you know, or is it sort of pretty low key right now?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if Wade has read it. He may have. I'd have to ask. Was Austin Aries a guest of Wade's on his podcast recently? Am I imagining that?
That's not jumping out to me, but he certainly could have.
I don't know. I know I heard Austin Aries on a podcast recently, and I maybe it wasn't Wade's. I definitely heard him on a podcast recently, though, where he talked about the book. But yeah, no, I wonder. I don't know if Wade has read it or not. I know I haven't, but I don't even have a copy of it yet. I should probably try to get a copy of it and read it because my wife is in the middle of changing her diet and going in a not totally vegan, but pretty close. And there's probably some ideas of some things that maybe I would try to eat with her. Have you read it, Andrew?
No, I have not. I don't know if it's one I'm ever going to read. I guess I don't know how much wrestling based it is, but man, he has been hawking that thing all over the place. When he showed up in House of Hardcore, he promoted it in WWE Impact. So, I mean, good for him. If you tell me it's good, then I'll give it a read.
Yeah, I'll probably check it out at some point, only because, like I said, you know, it's something that a family member of mine is trying to transition to, and I am not vegan. I do eat meat. I enjoy a good cheeseburger every once in a while. I'm not sure I'd ever want to give that up. but, you know, it does kind of seem like more of the vegan lifestyle will be coming into my household, and I don't think we'll be making two dinners. So I may be, if I eat what she eats, I'm sure I'll be eating a lot of vegan myself.
Oh, man.
Anything else, Ryan?
And lastly, on Kara Hogan, is that the standout student of Mr. Hughes? Does he have any other wrestlers that are well-known, or is that pretty much the only one that's really broken out in wrestling?
I don't know. Andrew, do you?
Who is the promoter's name? Or trainer?
Mr. Hughes.
Mr. Hughes?
Oh,
I'm sure he has. I just don't know of any off the top of my head.
I don't either. I feel like I've heard another name or so before that he's trained, but I wish I knew. I don't know that one.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for the call. All right. Sure. 515-605-9345. That's the phone number. Impact Livecast. @gmail.com. We're going to go to a break. We'll come back with more phone calls. We got Kylan in New Jersey. He's on the line. He'll be up next right after a quick 30-second break here on the PW Torch livecast.
When you want to know when the next episode of the PW Torch livecast is scheduled or catch up on a show you missed, check out our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can stream the latest shows right from that page, or download the show, or get a link to subscribe on a podcast app. That's pwtorchlivecast.com for the latest shows, and also catch up on shows you missed at pwtorchlivecast.com.
All right, back here on the livecast, and let's go to Kylan in New Jersey. Kylan, you're up next on the Thursday livecast. What's up? How are you?
Very well, Mike. How are you and Andrew doing this week?
Good. I was worried. We hadn't heard from you in a few weeks.
Yeah. Well, we were off last week. That was my fault. But, well, it wasn't my fault. It was the dumb storm's fault. Which, by the way, I'm sorry, Colin. I don't mean to interrupt. But we had a snowstorm last Thursday, which I lost power. And then we had another storm on Tuesday. And now they're saying we're going to have another one on Monday. It's supposed to be spring. I'm not sure if anyone has got – maybe I missed the message that winter is going to go till June. But, yeah. Sorry, I'm done complaining. How are you, Kylan?
Don't worry.
Well, you're in New Jersey, so you're probably getting the same stuff as me, right?
The people in New Jersey missed that memo too, Mike. I just wanted to make you aware of that.
I was going
to
say, yeah, you're in New Jersey. You're probably dealing with the same garbage that I am.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Apparently, Puxatawny Phil has glaucoma this year.
Something like that. What's on your mind tonight?
Let's see. Where do we begin after that debacle of commentary that is Josh Matthews? Good Lord. I'd like to believe, as you said earlier, Mike, that this is the beginning of an outpoint for Josh Matthews for the April 23rd through 26th. Seventh tapings, because over the next 5-6 weeks, Josh Matthews is just going to say a bunch of the most ridiculous crap you've ever heard in your life.
Yep.
And then at the end of his last show, some package courier is going to deliver a note saying that Impact Corporate Management has decided to remove you from your duties as play-by-play announcer for Impact. Your services in this role are no longer needed at this time.
Well, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, one can hope.
Anyone with a brain, I would think, would be fine with that.
Yeah, anyone who's watched the show for any length of time, I think, would be in agreement that that would be the best thing to happen to the show.
I would agree with that. So, my first question for this week concerns possible Impact departure news again. What do you think of the report that our last current X Division champion, Ishimori, left Noah to eventually transition into signing with WWE at some point? Do you think this means Triple H has seen some of his matches and has evaluated him to go there soon, or do you think he meant in the next couple of years and will stay with Impact for the foreseeable future?
Well, I hope he stays in Impact. I've been saying this to anybody who will listen, and I've been writing it as well. I've become a really big fan of Ishimori over the course of his run here with the company. I am very unfamiliar with Pro Wrestling Noah. I had not seen much of his stuff at all until this run with Impact, and I really like him. I'm a fan. So if they want to bring him into NXT, I think he would do really well. If Triple H sees him as a guy they can put on 205 Live, I think he would do very well, especially where Triple H is now running that. But, I would love if he stayed with Impact because I think he is great. But, would it surprise me if he ended up at WWE? No, just because they're trying to accumulate as many guys as they can with all of the hours of content they have to fill on a weekly basis. So it wouldn't shock me at all. Andrew, what do you think there?
Yeah, my guess would be within the next couple of years. It is encouraging that things have changed in WWE in this regard, where say they have Akira Tozawa, Hideo Itami kind of in the 205 Live show, where, before they would be like, well, we already have a few Japanese wrestlers, so now they can actually bring in more because Triple H is definitely more open-minded. But I just don't know if Ishimori really has the buzz about him that would make him a top priority at the moment. He's not at the level of, say, like an EC3, Bobby Lashley type, but he's certainly super talented. He said he wants to end up there. Yeah, I would say, within the next couple of years. I just don't know if Triple H would be in a rush to sign him right now.
Makes sense. Although I think I remember you discussing this, can you re-elaborate on your thoughts on Alberto El Patron claiming to leave Impact for WWE again after this allegedly productive meeting with Vince McMahon a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, Andrew and I talked a little bit about that last week. So we've said it over and over again. I think if you get into business with Alberto El Patron and he screws you in some way, shape, or form, You get what you deserve, and I will not feel bad for you. So I think we talked about it on last week's show, which was recorded on Saturday morning because I had no power. But we had said he's booked in this pay-per-view main event against Austin Aries for the world title. Well, if the contract reportedly, or it's rumored that his contract is up sometime in April, if it's up before the pay-per-view, that could be a problem. Because with Rey Mysterio hurt, if El Patron is the guy that they looked at and said, hey, maybe he can fill the Mysterio spot. Now, granted, it looks like John Cena is going to wrestle Undertaker. We know that now. So this conversation is a little out the window. But what we talked about last week was if they wanted to do Cena-Mysterio and Mysterio's out because he's hurt, is El Patron a backup plan for Cena at WrestleMania? Now, obviously, it does not look like that's the case. But the thing we were saying last week was, you know, you could have potentially had this guy run out the door for a WrestleMania appearance if he wasn't under contract, all because you trusted Alberto El Patron. I mean, he was your world champion before, and he wasn't arrested, but he kind of embarrassed you with some bad PR, and you had to suspend him, and he was suspended for a long time. And, you know, Andrew brought up the fact that he was mysteriously stabbed the year before that no one still knows the story about. No one knows the story about that one either. So it's – I just wouldn't trust
him. By his own brother, too.
Yeah, I mean, I just wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't trust that he would deliver. I wouldn't trust that he'd show up. I mean, who knows? The guy could leave and bail and take a payday to go to WrestleMania 2 weeks before your pay-per-view. Or he can get himself arrested for all we know. I mean, who knows with this guy? I wouldn't trust him. If you're going to put him in a main event spot and you're going to book, and remember, we said this, these shows were taped in January, so that was 3 months before the pay-per-view. If you, 3 months out, book him to main event to pay-per-view, and something happens to the extent that he doesn't get there, I'm not going to feel bad. You get what you deserve. This guy has a history of doing things like this, or screwing up plans, so it would be a disaster for them to lose a pay-per-view main event, but I would not feel bad in the least, because it's like, how many times does this guy have to screw up before you say, huh, maybe we shouldn't book him 3 months ahead of time for a pay-per-view main event?
Yes. pretty much agree with everything you just said there.
as am I. my next question, since we know he did get one of the faces in the Feast of Fires match today, what do you think is next for Moose?
That is a very good question. I would think out of the guys who won the cases that Moose would get a world title shot, Petey Williams would get an X Division title shot, EC3 gets fired, and that would leave who?
Eli Drake?
Oh, you know what? That would make sense. That would leave Eli Drake with the tag team title shot, and now the story is Eli Drake has to find a partner because Chris Adonis is gone. So yeah, that's what I think we'll see. I think that Moose could end up with the world title shot. I think Petey Williams will get the X Division title shot. I think Eli Drake, who's now partnerless, will get the tag title shot. And then EC3, who we know is gone from the company, he'll obviously be the one who gets fired. So, but I think that Moose getting into the world title picture after this pay-per-view and feuding with, I hope, Austin Aries. I hope that it's not El Patron winning the world title at the pay-per-view. I mean, I'm fine with that. If it's Patron versus Moose, I mean, that would still be a good match. I just don't like El Patron, so I hope that's not it. But I do have a feeling that that's where they'll go. If Moose gets the title shot, you almost think it's got to be El Patron, right? Because he's the heel. Aries is a face. Aries is reportedly on a very short-term deal or on a per-appearance deal. He's not locked in any way, shape, or form. So you would kind of have to think that they brought Aries in for the shock factor, the surprise factor, and then they're going to put the title on El Patron and move forward with maybe him versus Moose for Slammiversary. I don't know. I don't know anybody that would be too excited about that because it involves El Patron. I know I wouldn't be, but there might be some El Patron fans out there, right?
Couple of them, maybe.
Maybe.
Apparently so, considering Vince McMahon meets with him every couple of years to tell him he wants him to come back.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. We know that Vince McMahon is a fan.
Yeah, it's like people in wrestling promotions, basically.
There was that whole thing about Dixie Carter paying them $450,000 to come in for the first run.
Yikes.
That's a lot of money. Especially for what he gives you. That's a lot of money.
Yes.
Anything else on your mind, Colin?
And my final question for this week, with Lucha Underground budget being tremendously trimmed by El Rey and the people in charge of that company, if this is Lucha Underground's final season, which talent do you see being absorbed by Impact eventually?
Andrew, I'll let you take this one because you are more of the Lucha Underground watcher than I am.
I guess the names that are there already, like Jeremiah Crane is Sammy Callahan. Personally, I would like to see Matanza, Jeff Cobb come over. Maybe Willie Mack, Ivelisse even would be pretty solid. Jack Evans, they have a lot of great talent there. That could help out Impact quite a bit. And Helico, I always get that name wrong. I'd love to see Dario Cueto come in and run the company for a bit. Pentagon Jr. There's a lot of names that they should definitely be looking at if they become available, because they have a lot of people that haven't been really defined down by WWE. They don't feel like WWE castoffs. They went to Lucha Underground, kind of reinvented themselves, or they're new names that a lot of people haven't really seen.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty much open because I can't think of anyone that is not talented enough to be an Impact. I mean, yeah, there's so many people. It would just be a shame if they couldn't take some of their gimmicks, like Marty the Moth or I don't know. A lot of good people. I don't think I see Sexy Star coming there, though.
Probably not. I think that's a good bet.
It would be a shame if she's anywhere near an Impact locker room, if you ask me.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
All right, Colin. Well, hey, we appreciate the phone call as always.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, have a good night. We'll talk next week. Try to save yourself from the snow. More of it's coming for us here in the East Coast. Yay, more snow. I can't wait. I'm so sick of it. I don't know what I hate worse right now, snow or Josh Matthews on commentary.
Ooh, yeah, it's a Josh Matthews kind of day out there, I usually say to myself.
I like that. I have to be nice. All right, let's go to another break. We'll come back. We'll run through some of the segments that we have yet talked about or not yet talked about on the show this week, and we'll wrap up the show. But we'll get through the rest of Impact and share our hard-hitting analysis on the other happenings in the show. You can sneak in. If you haven't been on the phone line yet, you can sneak in and give us a call at 515-605-9345. If not, Andrew and I will break down the rest of the show when we come back right here on the PW Torch livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe. to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harlaw talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conferences and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn to go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say that this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right, back here on the PW Torch Livecast. Before we get to the rest of Impact, we have some breaking news, Andrew.
Ooh.
Well, this may have been from earlier today. I'm just seeing it now. But two bits of breaking news. WWE related. WrestleMania 35, WWE confirmed, as first reported by the New York Post, will take place at MetLife Stadium in New York, or New Jersey, probably in Kymans, neck of the woods. So, WrestleMania 29 was at MetLife Stadium. WrestleMania 35 will be at MetLife Stadium. So they're going back to New York, it would seem.
Interesting. Hope it doesn't snow.
Well, yeah.
That day.
Good thing it's not New York this year.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. I know that there was a report last year that up here in the Boston area that the Kraft family, who own the New England Patriots, and Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots play, that they had bid on a WrestleMania. And we're kind of told no because of weather concerns. So I always thought it was weird. I remember reading the report and going, well, they just went to New York a couple of years ago. You know, I don't know. Well, if they're not concerned with the weather there, why would they be concerned with the weather, you know, 150 miles north or whatever it is? But, yeah, so WrestleMania 35 going to MetLife Stadium. The other bit of breaking news in regards to WrestleMania 34, maybe not breaking news, but just I find interesting because who knows at this point this could actually be a thing. Macaulay Culkin on Twitter, the official Macaulay Culkin Twitter account, the Home Alone kid, although he's grown
I'm
up,
intrigued.
Yeah. Says,
go on.
And I quote, breaking news. That's in all caps. So, you know, he's serious. You don't put things in all caps unless you're really serious about it. So in all caps, Macaulay Culkin, breaking news. I'm officially accepting Rusev's challenge to wrestle him at this year's WrestleMania. You heard it here first, folks. And then he ends it with, come at me, bro.
Yes.
So at first that's like, oh, that's kind of funny. Like, he obviously heard about it and he's going to accept Rusev's challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I could totally see WWE doing this.
And they let's love face it, celebrities. Yeah.
Yeah. And Macaulay Culkin has not done anything since Home Alone.
Home Alone 2?
Like, yeah. When he was like 9. And yeah. I think he's our age. I think he's in his mid-30s. So Macaulay Culkin hasn't worked much in the last 25 years. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they threw some money at Macaulay Culkin to do something at WrestleMania. He's not going to have a match. I mean, he can't have a one-on-one match with Rusev, I wouldn't think. But I bet that happens. If you ask me right now, I'm willing to bet he would do something at WrestleMania. Even if it's like the Gronk thing last year where he jumps over the railing and hits somebody with a clothesline or something, like Macaulay Culkin will absolutely do something at WrestleMania.
I would be morbidly curious to see what would happen. Why not? I would say just take the biggest celebrity who offers to appear at Mania and grab him for Rusev. So at this point it's Macaulay. It's probably just from my childhood.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people would think that's the dumbest idea ever, and usually I'd be completely down on it. But
I'm on board only under one condition. So when they get in the ring, and Rusev kind of like stares him down or is about to charge him or something for like a whatever, like a shoulder tackle. Macaulay Culkin has to do the Home Alone face where he like slaps his cheeks and goes, ah! He's got to do that face before Rusev does something to him. That's the only way I'm on board. If he doesn't do the Home Alone face, then I'm out. I don't want it. If he does the Home Alone face, I'm 100% in.
I would accept Rusev chasing him around backstage, and he sets up a series of traps, like paint cans hit him in the head, and
that'd be great.
A burning door. I could watch that for 10 minutes or so.
That it should be a running theme throughout the entire night. Rusev in different backstage pre-tapes trying to find Macaulay Culkin, and Macaulay Culkin setting Home Alone style booby traps to cut off Rusev at every pass. And then at the end of the show, near the end of the show, Macaulay Culkin's in the ring, and Rusev comes down, and he does the face. Oh, that'd be great.
We've just booked WrestleMania.
I'm all in.
Yes,
I'm all in. All right. Well, aside from Macaulay Culkin, we can finish talking about this week's episode of Impact. And let's get to some of the stuff we didn't talk about yet. Let's start first with what they started with, and that was Sami Callihan beating Fala Ba in a fairly quick match. Then OVE and Sami Callihan was about to beat up Fala Ba again. And Eddie Edwards came out and made the save. So that happened. I thought it was I mean, it was short and sweet, but it did what it needed to do. I'm sure we'll get Eddie Edwards and Fala Ba against OVE probably now at some point, I would imagine.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I'm still in the mind that they should protect Fala Ba a little more. Make him seem more of a killer, or I don't know. I mean, Rikishi was pretty well protected and hard to take down when he was in his first face run. But yeah, this got the show off to a decent start. I saw on Impact's Twitter feed, they said 10 weeks in a row now they have started off the show with a match, which is insane because WWE did that 3 times all year, Raw and SmackDown combined.
I don't mean to laugh. That's just funny to me.
Yeah, so
I'm not sure sometimes that WWE realizes that they're a wrestling show.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the wrestling company that doesn't want to be in the wrestling business. So that's kind of funny, too.
Yeah.
But
so,
I'm fine with it. I mean, I think it makes your show different. Start it off with a match. Actually, yeah, makes you feel like you're watching a wrestling show.
Yeah, I think that's a great approach. When they do an in-ring segment to start the show, it should then mean something.
Yeah, so totally.
It'll stand out, yeah.
From there, Mackenzie Mitchell was going to do a sit-down interview with Austin Aries, but El Patron broke in. This was a segment that I, at first, thought I was going to hate. The whole premise was El Patron came in and he said, "Hey, you're the new champion, but I never lost my title, so I'm here to give you a gift." And El Patron comes in right after Austin Aries is talking to Mackenzie Mitchell about his book, his vegan book. Patron tries to give him a bottle of wine and this giant steak. And he tries to shove he's eating the steak in front of Aries. He tries to shove the steak in Aries' mouth. Or shove it in his face, excuse me. And Aries kind of slaps it away and stands up and confronts him. I expected to hate it, and I'm not going to say that I loved it, but I thought this segment was better than it had any right to be considering the circumstances. considering that they were arguing over a piece of meat, essentially. I thought that it was good. Like, I thought that it kind of showcased the character of, hey, Austin Aries has something that he believes in, and you know, it's not everyone in the world is vegan, but here's something where this is his way of life, and it's what he believes in, and he was willing to stand up for it against the heel El Patron, who was trying to intentionally shove it in his face and almost kind of make fun of him for being a vegan. Like I thought it came across with Patron being a bully and Aries being the guy that stuck up to the bully type of thing.
Yeah. I think I'm with you. Like I was watching this and I went back and forth. I'm like, is this really good or is this really dumb?
I thought it was going to be a dumb segment because I thought the premise was dumb, but I thought they pulled it off.
I think so too. And we've both been super harsh on El Patron. I think this was actually pretty decent acting on his part. I liked a more subtle approach because you could tell he was being a bad guy. But he was, hiding it well enough and trying to come off as genuine. But so that kind of clicked for me. I enjoyed the segment as well. It stood out from, I guess, what you see in WWE or Impact And yeah, both of their performances were well. I'm still super down on them actually feuding in a pay-per-view. But yeah, it was good for what it was.
Then they went to Braxton Sutter backstage. He tried to talk to Allie. She wasn't interested.
Braxton Sutter? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought of Byron Saxton.
Oh, no. Not yeah, Byron Saxton. Braxton Sutter. He tried to talk to how crazy would it have been if just Byron Saxton was trying to talk to Allie backstage and nobody explained it? Braxton Sutter tried to talk to Allie backstage. She wasn't too interested. It was a very quick segment. I think Kira Hogan was there and that was – she walked off. It was – I don't know. I didn't really have any thoughts here.
I guess I like that they're playing up the history between them, yeah, and not just completely dropping it, but yeah, it was fine, I guess. Yeah.
Like 30 seconds. Yeah. Wasn't a big deal.
It was all right.
I think we spent more time talking about it than actually, than how long the segment actually was. Then came one of my favorite segments of the night, maybe my just favorite segment of the night. Jimmy Jacobs came out. He again called out Abyss. Said he was going to keep doing it, and he was going to keep having Kongo Kong just destroy people until Abyss finally came. And Father James Mitchell made a return to the company. I mean, he's been involved over the last year in a segment here, a segment there. But he came out and cut a really good promo, like an actual good promo. I can't tell you the last time I saw one of these on Impact. You know, it was not the same type of energy, but I would compare it to a Paul Heyman type promo in the sense that he blows away any other promo in the company. Like Paul Heyman comes out and cuts a promo for Brock Lesnar. He is by far the best promo in WWE. James Mitchell came out and cut a promo for Abyss, and he was by far the best promo in Impact, and the best one we've seen on Impact in a while. But that brought out Abyss, and then Abyss and Kongo Kong brawled for a little bit. Abyss threw Kongo Kong from the ring, and then Father James Mitchell challenged Jimmy Jacobs and Kongo Kong to a Monsters Ball match next week. It'll be Abyss and Kongo Kong against, or just Abyss against Kongo Kong in a Monsters Ball match. So that should be violent, I would assume. but it was good to see James Mitchell back. I thought his promo was really good.
Oh yeah, he was great. I mean, in a just wrestling world, he would have been employed in one of the major promotions over the past 12 years or so. I mean, there's so many careers he could have helped out along the way. He puts over his wrestlers. He's a great talker. He has charisma, his own form of charisma. Yeah. I mean, he got me more excited for this match than at any point during the feud. I'm a little confused why they're not just holding off on this until Redemption, the Return Abyss. So, I'll be curious to see if they go even further. I'm assuming they'll do some sort of rematch. But yeah, I mean, the feud's been up and down, but this was probably the strongest part of it so far.
Then they went to Taya Valkyrie versus Rosemary. It was a double countout. Clearly, I mean, in my opinion anyway, this is just to set up another match, right?
Right, yeah. I did note during this match that the announcers went into overdrive hyping other shows. Like they worked in the Schitt's Creek one, the one night only pay-per-view, and they plugged the Impact shop sale for 15% off for St. Patrick's Day. While these two women are trying to have a serious fight.
something that they had built up for several weeks too, by the way. this feud. Then Eli Drake was backstage. He was on the phone talking to Chris Adonis. Chris Adonis said that he wasn't coming. He was afraid he was going to get fired. So Eli Drake just fired him. Eli Drake said, you're worried about getting the fired briefcase? Well, how about this? You're just fired. So I don't know that Eli Drake has the power to fire Chris Adonis. Maybe he meant he's just fired as his bodyguard. I'm sure that's what he meant. But they kind of made it sound like on commentary that Eli Drake had fired Chris Adonis from the company, which is odd, but whatever. Adonis could come back. I don't know if he's back before the end of the taping or if he actually is just not coming back and this is their way of writing him off the show.
He left the promotion like suddenly.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so this was their way of taking him out, it looks like.
That's a weird way to write him out of the show.
Yeah.
Especially sure. He was at the earlier set of taping because he had been on the show, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, it sounds like from what I heard or read that he really surprised management team. Like I think he went to a couple shows and then just like put in his notice and I'm not coming back.
Yeah, so he must have left in the middle of the tapings then, which is
I'm guessing so. That is very strange.
Well, then they had a segment where Brian Cage was eating. He was sitting up in the stands eating what looked like to be chicken and rice or something.
Oh, I thought it was a salad.
Was it a salad?
I'll have to rewatch.
Well, I was going to say Austin Aries does not approve, but if it was a salad, then Austin Aries would approve, unless there was meat on the salad.
That's a feud right there.
Or, hey, unless there was cheese on, there could have been cheese on the salad.
Oh, man, that we need to know. Bad.
That would have been bad. My wife puts hard-boiled eggs sometimes on her salad. Would have been, no, that's a no-go. So okay. Maybe we'll have the Austin Aries. I mean, Aries and El Patron are going to feud over steak, so
yeah. Why
can't Aries and Cage feud over what he chooses to put on his salad?
I like that. It's very subtle. I like 5 months from now, they'll cut to this video package, and this will be where it all began.
Exactly. Although, you know what would be funny? This is completely off topic. Do you think this would work? Do you think Austin Aries as a heel, would a vegan heel work? Kind of like the CM Punk, I'm straight edge and I'm better than you. Would an Austin Aries, I'm vegan and I'm better than you gimmick work?
Maybe. Some people, it would rub some people the wrong way.
There's probably more vegan people than straight edge people, so I'd imagine the vegan people would be upset about this.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, yeah, it's like CM Punk, or it reminds me of like Brian Kendrick when he was doing his spiritual stuff in his last TNA run. And kind of, I guess, Matt Sydal right now, where it's just, you know, we're supposed to dislike him because he's spiritual.
That's a good point.
It does seem like a wrestling thing, basically.
It does. Well, anyway, Lashley approached him in the stands, said he didn't need any help. Said if Cage wanted to see him in the ring, then let's fight. They don't need to be partners. He doesn't need his help. They should just fight. And then Cage got up, stared at Lashley, and walked away. So he did not say a word. Did exactly what he did last week. Didn't say a word, got up and walked away. So I think that, again, they're going to wrestle here. They're going to have a match before Lashley leaves. It's pretty obvious. And I'm sure the Cage would go over. But what would you think here? Here's something that I thought was interesting about this segment. They put them in there together in the stands, and it was pretty evident that Bobby Lashley was much bigger than Brian Cage, like height-wise.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just how they were standing in the bleachers, but it's a minor thing, but I didn't really like that. It made Brian Cage look small.
Yeah. They're definitely going to have to. I'll be curious when they actually wrestle. I think he is going to look smaller, but Brian Cage has pretty impressive strength. So if he's able to toss around Lashley a bit, I think that'll make up for it. And they'll be able to play that up, just how, you know, crazy strong he'll be able to come across. But Lashley is in a league of his own pretty much just in wrestling. I mean, there's Brock Lesnar, who's kind of his body type. Otherwise, not too many others like that at the moment.
You know, what's funny too, I'm looking at this here. They're not all that different in terms of size. Lashley's taller. He's 6'2". Cage is 6 feet. That's what they're listed at. So then, you know, realistically, they're probably 6'1 and 5'11 or something like that.
Right.
But Cage is listed at 265. Lashley's listed at 245. So there's really there's not a huge difference here. It had to have been how they were standing in the bleachers, because it literally looked like Cage was 6 feet and Lashley was 6'4". Like it looked, and I know at one point Lashley was standing and Cage was sitting, so that may have had something to do with it too. But it just looked like he was physically much bigger than Brian Cage. I doubt, looking at how they're listed here, I don't think it's going to look like that much of a physical disparity when they're in the ring. And it didn't last week either. You know, that's a good point.
Yeah,
they were in the ring last week and we weren't saying this. We didn't notice this. And they weren't face-to-face almost after that match. So we didn't really notice it then. So it just had to have been the way they shot it.
Yeah, it must be. Because, I'd forgotten about that too, that they did that almost handshake thing. And it didn't stand out to me then.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, then from there, LAX was in their clubhouse. It was a kind of a nothing segment. They just talked about how they were going to watch Feast or Fired. Matt Sydal then introduced Josh Matthews as his spiritual advisor. We talked about that already. And then the Feast or Fired match closed the show. So we've hit on everything in regards to this week's episode of Impact Wrestling. We're not going to do a VIP after show tonight. Andrew's got to rest his voice a little bit, and I am traveling tomorrow, so I am leaving. It is 11:05 p.m. right now on the East Coast, and I'm leaving tomorrow. Someone's supposed to pick me up here just before 6 a.m. Oof. So I am looking at leaving my house in less than 7 hours, and I haven't, haven't even packed yet. So that's a problem. I actually, not only have I not packed, I still need to do one more load of laundry. So,
oh, man.
Oh, yeah. So we're gonna skip the VIP after show because I'm going to try to get some sleep. And Andrew's going to rest up the vocal cords a little bit. So that'll pretty much do it for this week's edition of the show. I mean, is there anything else we got to hit on before we get out of here?
I will let people know that usually listen to our after show. Mike did win Fastlane. You won. You got four. So the tag match didn't count because it was DQs for everyone. But you went 4-1. I went 3-2. You're now down by 5 in the overall standing. So WrestleMania is going to be huge, though, because we're going to have Mania and NXT to go through. So
in between those two shows, Mania is going to be 7 hours long.
So yeah.
Between those two shows, there's going to be 20 matches to pick.
Yeah.
There really is. Right. Between all of them, there's going to be so many matches.
It's going to be great. Well, it'll be fun predicting. I can't guarantee the shows will be great. NXT will be.
Yeah. And also, we're going to have to make those picks 2 weeks out.
Oh.
Because that Thursday before WrestleMania, I am not going to be able to do a show that night. I am going to be covering the Frozen Four in Minneapolis. So we will have to do those without seeing the... This is a challenge. We're going to have to pick WrestleMania without seeing the go-home show.
Oh.
And the go-home show... This is unprecedented. Yeah, the go-home show usually gives you some clues. But we're going to have to do... That's my fault. Usually, it's just the way it falls. Usually, this event that I cover every year falls the week after WrestleMania. I usually leave like the Monday or Tuesday after Mania. This year, it is the weekend of WrestleMania. So I am landing at Logan Airport in Boston at about 4:45 in the afternoon. And then, as my son told me, I cannot be late. And he's trying to tell me that I cannot check a bag because we need to get from the airport back to our house, which is about 45 minutes away, before WrestleMania starts. And I said, that's probably not going to happen. so... He's not happy with me.
Oh, man.
He's almost as unhappy with me as I am about Josh Matthews being a heel on commentary.
Oh, man. He's pretty upset then.
Yeah. I got a rough couple of weeks coming up. Yeah. If this flight gets delayed, I might as well just not come home. I might as well just spend an extra night in Minnesota and be like, hey, it's worth it to not have to hear him for the next week complaining about how I made him miss part of WrestleMania. 8-year-olds, man, they can hold a grudge, let me tell you.
No doubt. No.
All right, well, I think that'll do it. I think that'll do it for the live cast. I got nothing else to say.
I'll quickly plug pwpodcast.com, read written recaps of all the biggest wrestling shows out there. I put up Sam Roberts interviewing Wade Keller. So check that out. They talk about WrestleMania. Also put up Steve Austin interviewing Vince Russo. Check those out on the website. Otherwise, Andrew, S-O-U-C-E-K on Twitter.
Mike McMahon, PW on Twitter. If you're not a VIP member yet here at PW Torch, you should be. You usually get to listen to Andrew and I on the VIP After Show, where we usually make our WWE pay-per-view picks, and we yell and complain about Shane McMahon. So if we were to do an After Show this week, we absolutely would have yelled and complained about Shane McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
We can save that for next week. I'm sure there'll be plenty to... Oh, we're going to WrestleMania, baby. There's going to be plenty to yell about Shane McMahon, I can promise you. So we'll let that fester and build up for a week, and we'll get our yelling out about Shane next week on the show. So that'll do it for this week's edition of the Livecast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for emailing, but none of you did. Do it next week. ImpactLivecast@gmail.com. Andrew and I will talk to you next week as soon as Impact goes off the air. And to VIP members, you're not going to hear from us this week, but you hear from us soon. But if you are a VIP member, you know that it doesn't matter whether or not you hear from Andrew and I, because there are so many other things you get from being a BW Torch VIP member. And Wade Keller is going to tell you a little bit more about all the details, what you get when you go VIP here at the Torch. So thanks for listening again. And Andrew and I will talk to you next week as soon as Impact goes off the air.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.